John chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, an intriguing text in the Bible. John chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Jesus has healed a man who was blind from birth. I'm going to go back and look at a few passages in chapter 9 together, but giving you the context, the miracle that Jesus performs by placing spittle, is the King James language, or like some kind of a mud paste, it seems, over the man's eyes, born blind from his birth, is key. He then is told to go wash, but at the point of this discovery, Jesus doesn't reveal to this blind man who he is. If you look at the text, you'll notice that Jesus talks about while he is in the earth, in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And it's interesting that a man born blind will be made to be able to see by following some instructions here of Jesus. And that's going to start in verse 6. You can look at verses 1 and 2 and note that the man was born blind from his birth. His parents will confirm that he was born blind because the Jews, in verse 18, when they find out about this miracle, because it stirs up quite a bit of interest in the community, so to speak, and there's questions about who this man is, because he also performs the miracle on the day, or the Sabbath day. And that's brought out in this text too. But in verse 18, the Bible says the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And so the parents are brought in to confirm that this is their son and that he indeed was born blind. And they ask in verse 19, how does he now see? And they answer and say, we don't know. We know he's our son and we know that he was born blind. But we don't know how he was made to see. But verse 21, it's interesting. He is of age. He's mature. He's able to answer for himself. Ask him. Now, in verse 22, you get a little bit more of the emphasis John, the inspired writer, is making, where in verse 22, there's this fear and emphasis upon confessing Jesus. And this is the interesting development of the chapter, getting us to a certain point. And it's incremental. It doesn't happen all at once. In other words, Jesus doesn't do the miracle and say, all right, now I'm the Son of God. Do you believe in me? That doesn't happen like this in this case. Neither does the miracle. The miracle doesn't happen instantaneously for curious reasons, but there's, again, an incremental thing happening in chapter 9 for a reason. Now, not all miracles are done this way. Some miracles are instantaneous. Lazarus, rise. That happens immediately. So Jesus could have made the man able to see immediately, but he chose to do it this way for this reason in this text, for the revelation, and to allow, again, people to learn some things, apparently. Now, again, in verse 22, I want you to note that there is this fear of being cast out of the synagogue if they confess that he was the Christ or the anointed of God. But we really haven't even got to that point yet, to where that's been made known or revealed, because there's still this questioning factor going on, and Jesus hasn't entered into the scene yet to the Jews in this context. Now, they call the man that's blind again in verse 24 back in. They've already interviewed him. They're asking him about the man, Jesus, who healed him. He says, I don't know the man. I just know that he made me able to see from God. I don't know the man. We're getting there, though, and I want you to note that they called the man that was blind again, and they said, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, they're making accusation against Jesus because they're saying he was a sinner. Whoever this man was, I think they're on to it. I think they know that this was probably this guy that's causing so much problem in their world in the day, which is Jesus. And they're trying to catch him in a snare, and the snare here is that he did something on what day? The Sabbath day. And they're going to say two things and qualify it as work and a violation of the Sabbath day law. The first thing they say is that he made spittle. And if you read that, He'll say in verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. And then said they unto him, well, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He said, I have told you already, he did, and you did not hear me. Wherefore would you hear it again? He's questioning them. It's kind of an interesting character, this blind man, who's now able to see. You see his character here. He's saying back to them, are you even going to listen to me a second time? That's interesting about this man. Jesus would have known his character. Will you also be his disciples, he says. He's now saying, are you going to be his disciples if you even buy into this? And they reviled him and said, are you his disciple? We are Moses' disciple. And we're going to lean on the law of Moses because we know this man did some work. He violated the Sabbath day, and therefore he can't be anything but a sinner because he did two things. The first thing is he made mud or spittle, and they call that work. Can you imagine that? I just wonder if the little kids that were able to play on the Sabbath day or able to do anything, if they were out making little mud pies, if it was wet or raining or close to a well, if they would be gotten onto and maybe whipped or spanked or whatever you want to call it, and said, now you can't do that, little Johnny or little Susie, because that's work on the Sabbath day. Those were the kind of absurd types of rules and regulations they had made up. The second thing they say is they did a miracle. They made a man that was blind able to see, and they're saying that's sinful on the Sabbath day to do good. This is a repeat story throughout the life of Jesus and his ministry, proving that the Sabbath day they had violated, not Jesus. They had violated by making rules and regulations that God had never made. They had made themselves a slave to the Sabbath day, where the Sabbath day was made for man for their good, not man for the Sabbath day. And you'll have to study that on your own time, insofar as the commands of God and God's intent for them. They're for our good. They're for our good. And so there's a principle there that we could talk about too, but that's not even getting to the text here. Now drop down, if you will. They're making reference to the fact that God doesn't hear sinners. Verse 31, that's interesting. Well, I understand that God doesn't hear sinners in the sense of today, if you're not a child of God, you don't enjoy or have the benefits of prayer like a Christian does, or one that is a saved person in the blood of, by the blood of Christ. That's not to say that God isn't omniscient and doesn't know all things. He knew Cornelius, and he knew the circumstance there. And so we don't want to argue or misunderstand God's providence sometimes in regard to God's answering of prayers and the benefit a saint has over a sinner. But that's another story too. But verse 32 says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? And again, they're taking note that a miracle has happened now, and they're giving credit to the fact that there's a miracle going on. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? Their arrogance, pomp, and pride. And they cast him out. Now remember in verse 22, the fear was real in that day and age of being cast out of the synagogue, because being cast out of the synagogue had to do with something in their culture. How would we relate that today? Well, being cast out of society as a, you know, we might call him a stranger or a rebel or a rogue. Most people don't want to be classified like that. They want to be known in the norm, whether right or wrong. Most people don't like to be cast out, culturally speaking. It's a popularity thing. Same thing here. The synagogue was quite the popular place to gather and follow the rules. But they cast him out because of his reasoning. And I think that's one of the first things I'll take note of. This man was a reasoning individual, and yet he still has not confessed Christ yet. Watch what happens next. Verse 35, God heard that this man had been cast out. And when he found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? And notice the reasoning of the man. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Look at the question there. We love it when people ask these kinds of questions. This is a great question. Who is the Lord that I might know him? Now you've got a person ready to be taught and to believe and to obey. We can help develop people if we think through the series of conversations that are taking place there. And even in the difficult times, even in the conflict, even perhaps his parents kind of cowardly not wanting to be cast out, I might say, out of fear of being cast out in verse 22. Maybe his own parents didn't really support him like they could have. This man stands up for what is truthful and what has happened and what is right. And he says very objectively, who is the Lord? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him. Yeah, you've seen him. You've heard him too. And it is he that talketh with thee. And this is a man that was blind at birth, and now he can not only hear with his ears, he can see with his physical eyes. And he says, Lord, I believe. And the action is here, he worshiped him. He bowed down before the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to consider the facts of a man that was reasonable in the midst of a context and culture that was unreasonable, that paid attention to the evidences, the truth, even when challenged. Great test. I mean, he could have said after being healed, cowardly, I don't know, I don't want to talk about it, I can just see now, leave me alone, let me be, I'm just happy I can see now. But he didn't do that. He kept defending the truth, he kept challenging the challengers, reasonably going back to them. And I think one of the most fascinating things here is that in verse 35, maybe the most important passage, when Jesus heard that they had cast him out, what did he do? He went and found him. I want you to think, look at verse 41, last passage. If you were blind, you should have no sin, but now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And now he's talking to the people that had rejected the Redeemer, the Savior, the miracle worker. And they would still be rejected. But a blind man that truly was made whole, who reasoned through what happened, objectively says, who is the Lord that I might know him? He answers the call, and he'll be saved. Jesus is looking for that kind of person. He's looking for this kind of person. It tells me also that there's other kinds of people he's not looking for. He came to seek and save that which was lost, but he also says, why try to go after those who need no Savior, who think they're saved, who won't listen, who won't learn, who won't ask questions? Those that are whole, I can do nothing for. But those who are in need, I can find you and I can help you. I know there's a lot to be said about this text, and maybe I've said something that has encouraged you. Look out amongst the world and listen to the people who are listening, who are paying attention. See if we can find them and see if we can study with them and see if we can show them the Savior and make them whole and see if they'll see, knowing that they're blind at the present spiritually. A man was made whole who obeyed the Savior. Will you be made whole? Have you been made whole? Are you here and need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing exactly who the Lord and Savior is, and you've just hesitated? Perhaps you're not ready for that yet. But are we studying with you? Are you studying with your parents? Are you studying with someone to help you see clearly so that you can know exactly what to do? We don't want anybody to be lost here at 9th and Main. Anybody that comes here. We want to make sure that we help you see clearly what you must do in order to be saved. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe? Can we help you? If we can help you, why don't you let us know then as together we stand and we sing. Won't you come?